Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films on Broadway, Settlers, and Together. And that one's so easy, I'm not even going to bend my mind. Hi, David, how are you?
I'm fine, Jill. How you doing this week?
No complaints. That's right. That's my policy. No complaints.
Okay, well, I have plenty of things to say. But I won't complain. I will just talk about these movies. And you're right. You could make a sentence out of these movie titles. You could make a very, very short story out of them. But actually, they have virtually nothing in common with one another. So this is one of those weeks where our theme is to have no theme, except that these are all new movies and they're all out right now. So let's begin with On Broadway. This is a movie. It was directed by Oren Jacoby, and it is a documentary, and it is about the Broadway scene. And clearly, this is a very interesting topic. Broadway has been a world-famous, illustrious institution for a very long time. Everybody thinks of Broadway shows as sort of entertainment and even culture at their very best and all of that. But of course, for the past approximately year and a half, Broadway has been shut down because of the pandemic. And it's now just supposed to be reopening this month, and I sure hope that happens, but I'm not sure that it's going to go smoothly. But anyway, that's the story there. And what this movie amounts to really, and I'm going to have to say it this way, it's sort of an infomercial for the Broadway scene, for theater as entertainment, as culture. It's just a big sort of promotional documentary, and I think it's very nice to have that right now, because I think Broadway needs all the help that it can get, all the boosting that it can get. And I hope this movie finds a pretty wide viewership, because I think it will help to give that sort of boosting. The movie is a bit historical, which is to say it goes back into some of the 20th century history of the Broadway theater and how it's always had its ups and downs. For example, in the 1980s, there were tremendous downs because the AIDS crisis hit, which just devastated the Broadway scene, the theatrical scene generally, but certainly Broadway, more than a lot of sectors of society. And that was a terrible thing. And right around that time, another thing was going on, which is that there was a very large influx of shows largely from Great Britain, because it seemed that American producers, American directors, American playwrights were going a bit stale, were not coming up with as many new ideas as they should. And so producers started to import things from Britain and to bring in shows from Britain and to bring in ideas from Britain. So the point is that the theater, the Broadway theater, has always had its ups and downs and good periods and bad periods. And certainly the pandemic has got to be counted one of the bad periods, because things were just shut down. And now things are trying to come back. And so we have this movie, which is trying to, I think, lend some momentum to this effort. The movie is a documentary, and a little bit of it follows the rehearsals and the opening of a new play on Broadway called The Nap, and we have a lot of talk by the director of it, Daniel Sullivan, and some by the cast members, and it's an illustration of how Broadway has changed and become more open and inclusive, because it's about a transgender person, and the star of it is a transgender person, so I think that's pretty interesting, and we see how that show was rehearsed and how the show is now opening and has just opened and has received very, very good reviews, and so that's just kind of a little mini infomercial within the larger infomercial. But On Broadway goes way beyond that individual show, and it talks with a lot of different people, some of whom are very big stars. There's people like John Lithgow and Ian McKellen and Alec Baldwin and Helen Mirren and Julie Taymor, the great director, and some others who talk about the history history of Broadway and their own experiences with Broadway. And again, it's all very upbeat, and I certainly hope that it works to bring some magic back to the Broadway scene. Theater was one of my very first loves as a person interested in culture and the arts. Way back when I was in high school, I started going to Broadway shows, and I still pretty vividly remember the first Broadway shows I went to way back then. In recent years, I haven't been so fond of the Broadway scene. For one thing, I no longer live in New York, although I go there all the time. And I've seen a lot of the big Broadway shows in their touring versions, and I often find them, not very lustrous. Some of the magic has gone out of the Broadway-type scene for me in recent years. But maybe that's because Broadway itself has been in one of those down periods, and maybe as it reopens after the pandemic, there will be all kinds of wonderful stuff going on again, and the magic will return. I certainly hope so. In recent years, Broadway, before the shutdown, had become largely a tourist phenomenon. The people who go to Broadway shows are more people visiting New York than people who actually live in New York, and that's great. You know, it's fine that people come in from other places and they really want to see a Broadway show and have that thrill, and that's terrific. But I'm hoping that when Broadway comes back after the pandemic, which is starting now, that it will be a phenomenon which both people who are nearby in New York and people who come from other places will be as thrilled with as I was when I was younger. So again, I think On Broadway, it's a lovely little infomercial for the Broadway scene, and I hope it finds a wide viewership, and I hope it reinvigorates the theatrical scene in general, and Broadway in particular, because it could certainly use that reinvigoration right now. Our second film, Jill, as I said, is completely different. Settlers is a science fiction movie, the first feature film made by a new director named Wyatt Rockefeller. And it is one of these, it's kind of interesting, it's a science fiction film, and there's been a little bit of a tendency lately for sort of minimalist science fiction movies with very, very minimal numbers of cast members. There was Oxygen, about a woman who suddenly wakes up attached to various machines and not having any idea where she is, and we eventually get find out what's going on in this very science fictional story, basically a one-character drama. There's been a little tendency lately for there to be these science fiction movies with very, very minimal casts. There was a movie called Oxygen, which is basically a one-character drama about a woman who wakes up attached to all sorts of machines, and gradually she and we figure out what's been going on with her and how she ended up here and what's happening, and that's very science fictional in all ways. Then there was a movie called Stowaway, which was a very small cast, just a few people on a spaceship, and they find out there's one more person than there should be, and what's going on there. So now we have Settlers, which is not quite as minimalistic as those, but well, actually it is, because it has a very, very small cast and a very, very sort of quiet story, although eventually some real violence kicks in and then it's not so quiet. But it's another one of these science fiction movies with a very small number of people in it, and that gives it a sort of an intimate feel, even though it's a very science fictional story that involves the expanses of space to some degree. So, what is Settlers about? It is about some people who are very early settlers on Mars. It turns out that Earth has become a very unpleasant place, and finally human beings have started to migrate out of the planet, and some of the early settlers have arrived on Mars, and they've been living there for a while now, and they are Reza and Ilsa, a man and a woman, and they are raising their young child, Remy, they are really just like characters in a Western. They're just like people on some Western about people on the frontier. And yes, just like in a lot of Westerns, they're living their lives and running their little farm and their little settlement, but there is danger nearby, and we aren't quite sure what the danger is, but the danger seems to be coming closer and closer, just like you would get in one of the old-fashioned Cowboys and Indians movie, only in this case, of course, it's something more exotic than that. And we have to find out as the movie proceeds just what this danger is and what's going to happen to these people in the settlement, whether they're going to survive the dangers or not, and perhaps above all, what's going to happen with the young child, Remy, as she grows older, which she does over the course of the movie. And we definitely find, we meet another character, a guy named Jerry, who is involved with that danger that's lurking over the horizon. And anyway, again, it's very much like a Western, and that's interesting, I think, because even the title, by the way, really almost says that this movie consciously wants to be like a Western. And that's interesting partly because Westerns don't get made anymore. Westerns were once the most popular of all genres in American film and television, and it just isn't anymore. And one theory, and I think it's a good theory, is that way back in the 1970s, science fiction movies took over the territory that once had belonged to Westerns. Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie. It's a Western. It's just that the people are riding around in little spaceships instead of riding horses, and they're flashing around lightsabers instead of shooting six guns. But it's basically a Western, and even the tagline for Star Wars, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, indicates this connection with the Western. And Settlers is very, very conscious of being a modern-day Western that you know, about people who are settlers, who are on the frontier, and the dangers they face and their efforts to overcome those dangers and to eke out a successful life. The trouble with Settlers, the movie, is that it's boring. Oh, my gosh. I really, really got tired of it very, very quickly, and it never really picked up. It tries to, but it just plods on and on with these very – you can make good movies with a handful of characters, but it just these few characters in this very limited setting, which, by the way, is sort of like the Truman Show. They're all under this big biodome, so they can walk around without space helmets on. That's mildly interesting. But I just found that most of the things that happened to these people, the threats, the dangers, the triumphs, the sadness, were just not very interesting. So I give credit to the makers of Settlers, Wyatt Rockefeller, who directed it, and the others, for trying to do something interesting and a little bit different, but it
I've lost about 20 pounds.
I just found it really quite a tedious film. So if you're really a science fiction fan, sure, by all means, go see Settlers, but be warned, you're liable to find that it's a fairly dull experience. That's certainly the way that I found it. And now to our final film for today, Jill, which is called Together. And oh, here we have a movie which is really, really, really about the pandemic. It's very directly about that. You could say Settlers is kind of indirectly about that, about people isolated with a threat hovering around them. But Together is very explicitly about that. It was directed by Stephen Daldry, who has done some really good work over the years, especially a movie from some years ago called The Hours, which is just a fascinating movie that deals with the era of AIDS and is just unconventionally structured and has all kinds of brilliance to it. I wish I could say that Together has that kind of brilliance, but it really, really just doesn't. One critic has already said that it's kind of like the pandemic meets Scenes from a Marriage. And in a way, that's sort of like what it is, because the great Ingmar Bergman film, Scenes from a Marriage, is very much a two-character drama. And here we have Together, which, if Settlers has a limited number of characters, Together has a really limited number of characters. There are two, and they don't even have names. At the end of the movie, they are just identified in the closing credits as he and she, and then there is their young child, their little boy, who is kind of looking on from time to time. But almost the whole movie is interactions between he and she, the man and the woman, and they are a fairly young couple, and they've been married for, well, actually, they've been living together for a while. Whether they're married or not becomes an issue within the movie, and they are isolated during the pandemic crisis. By the way, it's a British film, so they're in Britain, and every once in a while, the movie very much reminds us of its real subject, because from time to time on the screen, suddenly words come up, and they tell us, at first, how many deaths there have been in the UK from COVID-19, and then eventually how many people have been vaccinated against COVID-19. And so we are constantly reminded that this is going on and that these two people are having their interactions in this larger circumstance. But mainly the movie is not about the social ramifications of COVID-19. It's about the very personal ramifications, how this might affect a couple of very ordinary, sort of very average people living together as a couple and gradually driving each other crazy. In fact, I won't even say gradually, because they seem to be sort of at odds right from the beginning of the movie. And this is both what's interesting about the movie and what's the problem with the movie. They are on each other's nerves from the opening scene. And yes, from time to time, they make nice with each other and they get together and they have nice little conversations. But we have almost entirely only these two people talking with each other. And most of that talking is squawking and squabbling. And oh my gosh, I got tired of that pretty quickly. There are people who found this movie a really fascinating psychological portrait. I found it a very one-note psychological portrait. It's very interesting to sort of put under the microscope the personal relations of a couple of people not that different from you and me. You know, they're just regular folks trying to live their lives and facing the challenges of the lockdown. But my golly, they just don't do a very good job of it. And over the course of the film, we find out things about their pasts, about their backgrounds, about challenges they face separately, challenges they face together, and that's pretty interesting. But the squawking and the squabbling and the squabbling and the stalking really got on my nerves after a while, until I started to dislike these characters pretty much like they dislike each other through much of the action. So it's a very interesting experiment, and I think that in future times this movie will be seen as a real, maybe a quintessential film of the pandemic era. But just as a viewing experience to sit there in a movie theater and watch it, oh, I just found it was too much for me after a while. So I say let's have more movies with lots of characters. Let's have more movies with lots of variety to them. And especially let's have more movies where people are getting along with each other as well as just sort of getting on each other's nerves, because that tends to get on my nerves after a while as well too. So that is my pretty varied pandemic story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films on Broadway, Settlers, and Together.